Hey, and welcome to The Scoops. I'm here with Mark Lowry. Mark, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, Rob. How are you?
I am good. And you're talking today about a new project you've got going on. Tell us a little bit about it.
It is released today. You can get it at marklowry.com, or you can go to any Christian bookstore in your area. It's called Unplugged and Unplanned, and it literally is. It's a video where just around the piano, it's like we're in your living room.
Wow.
And me and Lord Song and the sisters and Stan Whitmire at the keyboard and Amber Franks, Balt Ziegler, they all traveled with me for 8 years.
Uh-huh.
So we took around and telling stories that were not told on the stage, but things that we were living during that time. And some pretty painful stuff and intimate stuff and some great songs. And it's just different. There's no studio. There's no audience of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sitting around. And so it's not a comedy record as such. It's just a real in-depth, intimate, hopefully minister to a lot of people. But, you know, we talk about on there what we were going through, like the sisters, Amber, Heather, and Kim, where they lost their dad on that trip and how they prayed for his healing and believed God. I watched them. I mean, they were holding on to scriptures, and I would pray with them, but I know I wasn't believing as hard as, because the cancer was just awful in his body. And then he passed, and I watched how they wrestled with God over that, and how they, you know, he didn't heal their father the way they wanted him healed. Of course, death, I believe, is the ultimate healing.
That,
if you get healed down here, you're going to die eventually. Even Lazarus had to die again.
Well, that's true, and there are a lot of people going through that, so that's a great word for right now. There are a lot of people, I mean, if you follow people's lives right now that are going through some really difficult things health-wise, and yet if you really think about it, the ultimate healing is when we get to heaven. You don't have to be sick again. Unplanned, though, is a great word, because life really, as much as we want to plan it, really is, for us, unplanned, because we don't know what God wants for us, always.
Well, like, I love what Gloria Gaither says. God is in the interruptions. Yeah. You know, you rarely, she said, I rarely find him in my plans, but he's always, and, you know, when she told me that, I started looking at my life, and it's true. Every story I've ever told that mattered happened is a story about a bad day in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I broke 11 bones in a car wreck, that turned into a story called Pivot on Your Good Foot. When I had a motorcycle wreck, and that's turned into a story. And I asked God the other day, I said, could I please have some new material that doesn't hurt?
It doesn't involve me breaking something.
Right. But I never learned anything on a good day. You know, it's the bad days that you really pay attention to, and that's when God can teach you, because this is boot camp. This is not home. And I contend that life can't hurt you if you don't take so much interest in it.
Well, I like that.
Step back and act like it's a movie. How bad would you want your money back if you went to a movie and there was no drama?
Well, see, no, but I'm a comedy guy, so never mind.
Or a comedy, or at least a story where there is a villain and there's redemption and there's... I love the story, and that's what our lives are. We're telling a story, but it's God's story.
Mm-hmm.
It's God's story of redemption.
So when we say unplanned, are you, and I wanted to ask this, because, and I think I know the answer, but I'm going to let you answer the question. Are you a planner in life? Are you one of those people that plan? I didn't think so.
I've never had a five-year plan, and I used to feel guilty about it, because they'd come through our college and say, you need to have a five-year plan. I never knew what was going to happen. First of all, I never knew what was going to happen the next day. Who does?
That's true.
I never know what's ahead of me. It seems like I've just walked through doors as they've opened. I've kicked a few that didn't open, and I go find one that does. And you just keep walking through the doors, and eventually you've lived your life.
Yeah. Well, that's...
And looking back, I'll tell you, Rob, looking back at 52, I can see where the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. I used to think that didn't apply to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know how unrighteous I am. But it's not my righteousness anyway. It's his righteousness that has been applied to me. And I can look back, even the things I did wrong, even the things that I wish I could fix, God was in that, working all things together for good. He wasn't causing it. It was my bad choice. But he and I can look and see, well, that led me here, and this, it's just like, it's not that it's been planned, or maybe it has been, but it seems like it's been choices that I have made that have led me here.
So of the music on this new project, what's your favorite song that's on there?
Oh, gosh. House of Gold is one of my favorites. Nothing to Prove, I love that song, written by Dan Dean. It's from an old man preacher, Brother Jones, who pastored my church that I'm a member of. He used to always say, I want to die with nothing to prove, nothing to lose, and nothing to hide.
That should be everybody's saying.
Well, sure. That's why it's in the song now, that everybody is, but it's about our parents. You know, they taught me how to drive a car, love the flag with all my heart, shoot a ball, do my chores, pop a clutch and ride a horse, you know, things like that. But it talks about how I learned from them by watching them more than what they said. Oh. And so it's really a powerful song. I think all the songs are songs that we did on the road and really mattered to us. And so that's how it was. And it's unplanned because we had no idea where we were going. We had a list of songs we could do, but it's really however the Spirit led, which is how the concerts I do run anyway. Because I have ADD, and I used to have ADHD, but when I turned 50, I dropped the age.
You're cutting down because you're getting older, kind of like compacting.
Yeah, I don't follow my brain around the room anymore. I sit in the lazy boy and watch it.
Why? Because it's less stress that way.
Yeah, it'll come back.
It's always going to get back to me.
It'll wear you out.
You were talking about your parents and stuff. And I want to ask this question because, you know what, I've never asked you this and I've always been curious about this. When was it that you realized that you were funny? I mean, how old were you when mom and dad laughed?
Four. Well, no, they never would, because that'd be like saying suck them to a bulldog. They didn't laugh, and I think that's, they should have, but yet on the other hand, they didn't, so it made me try harder. You know, I used to bother me because my preacher would laugh at his kid at everything he did, everything. I mean, and they end up being a stupid kid because he didn't ever have to try to be funny.
If he's listening right now, you don't mean he's still stupid. He was just at the time stupid, right?
Yeah, no, he's not stupid. Now he's dead. He died of a heart attack. That's even worse. But seriously, he was a great guy. But my parents, at the time, I wondered, why won't they laugh? But what I've noticed now is it made me try harder. And so I would work at making them laugh. I'd find new, you know, they were the goal. And so I think that's how it, and then one day I went with my brother to a model. My brother was a model when I was a kid. He did modeling around Houston when he was little. And I'd follow him. You know, I wasn't pretty enough to be a model.
I was going to say, happened to you? No, just kidding.
Oh, listen. But, you know, there's a benefit. Listen, for all you ugly people out there like me, there's a benefit from being ugly from the get-go. You've got nothing to lose. And you get to watch pretty people age. Do you know what a pleasure it is for me to watch pretty people age? Father Time just kicking the tail out of them, and they're trying to hold on to it. Well, you know, I've just gotten better looking with age. You should have seen me when I was a youth.
Well, see, that's the thing that bothers me is people say I look better now than I did 20 years ago, and that tells me that I was pretty, pretty ugly 20 years ago.
Yeah, bone ugly.
Yeah. So you were going on this modeling thing with your brother.
Yeah, and I was around some of the other models, and I started telling them stories, and they were laughing. And I realized then, way back then, I remember, this feels good. I love these really good-looking models laughing at me. You know, I thought that was great. So that was my first taste of it, but I never planned on, you know, being a comedian. I still don't consider myself a comedian. I'm just a storyteller. And the way that happened was when I first got started traveling and singing in independent Baptist churches, you know, they wouldn't clap because that's giving glory to men. They wouldn't shout because they're afraid someone might think they're doing it in another language. But they would laugh. And I knew they were listening, so I just honed that. I wanted them to get it. And I knew if they were listening, they would get it. They would get the punchline, the gist of the story, which is hopefully would lay them in the lap of Jesus.
So when you put this project together in the time frame, I'm always curious to find out, how long did something like this take? Because you said, of course, it was unplanned. But really, you know, there was obviously time involved. What, from beginning to end, give us kind of an idea, time frame wise, something.
Well, Norman Holland had been after me for years to do something with Daywind, and he's the A&R director at Daywind. He's one of my best friends, and I saw these live at Oak Tree, and thought, well, this might be something new and different, and it, you know, just takes an afternoon to go in there and do it. And so I sent them a bunch of songs that I might do, and we had them all on a piece of paper, and they were all queued up on this 360, so we could get to them real quickly. A 360 is a machine, that a computer that finds your songs real fast. You know, I don't know how to explain it other than that. Anyway, so we just went in there and did it. I mean, literally. When you watch the DVD from the very beginning, you can tell, even at the beginning, I didn't know the cameras were already rolling.
Oh, cool.
And so it just starts, you know, I think it turned out well.
What is your motivation? I mean, you've been doing this now for a long time. We can say that because you've already told people you're 50.
Oh, yeah.
What is your motivation each day to get up and do it again?
In the hopes that somebody out there will get it. I'm serious. I mean, the thing that really turns me on and gets me excited is if I get a new story that explains Christ in a new way or a fresh way where people see him. They see him in the story. They see it, and the story relates to their life. Because they usually, when you tell a story, people are always thinking about stories in their lives. That's why they relate to stories so well. Jesus told stories. And, of course, we're still trying to figure his out.
Yep.
But I try to keep the cookies on the bottom shelf, not that I'm better than Jesus. It's that Jesus wanted us to wrestle with his stories, because there's all kinds of nuggets in his stories. But I've got to keep the cookies on the bottom shelf so I can get it. So once I've had time, and I do have a lot of time to think about these things and deduce things down to, try to deduce the unfathomable into words. What a exciting journey.
Yeah.
Because you never get bored, because it's unfathomable. Well, you know, it's just, God is unfathomable. He is completely other, but he's given us a glimpse of himself in Jesus. And so studying his words, the red part of the Bible, you know, someone asked a Catholic priest one time, why do y'all, the Catholic priest said to a friend of mine, you guys, when you get saved, you go directly to the epistles. You study Paul. And then you look at Paul through the lens of Jesus. Where we Catholics, we start studying the Gospels and then look at Paul through the lens of Jesus, and rather than the other way around. He said, that's why we turn out Mother Teresa's and you turn out TV evangelists. but seriously, you got to start with our leader, you know. Mm-hmm. Which is Jesus. This isn't Billy Graham talking. This is Jehovah on foot talking when he said, blessed are the poor. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, blessed are the poor that follow me. He said, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the peacemakers. You know, God is all about us being peacemakers, not warmongers, peacemakers. Mm-hmm. I mean, he says some very convicting things, especially to American Christianity, that is convicting me. And that's the reason I'm like Paul. I press towards the mark. I haven't reached it.
That's it. Well, if we ever believe we've reached it, then we're not useful anymore.
Well, yeah, or we're dead. We will have reached it when we're dead.
That's, well, true. Well, then we're not useful here on Earth anymore.
Yeah, right.
See? Heavy thoughts on this day.
You wouldn't think. And I'm supposed to be a comedian. Isn't this funny?
I like this part of you. I do. I do.
Well, this is where all the humor comes from, because I'm not one of those people that is funny off stage. I mean, that's why a lot of radio interviews, they think they're getting a comedian, then I start talking about all this stuff. But all this stuff and all these conversations that I have with my friends and people like you is what eventually gets to the stage, and I find a humorous way to convey it.
Which is important, because people are, they open up when you are humorous. See, I'm a pastor's kid, and so, you know, yeah. I lived my whole life having to be fast and funny.
Yeah, well, that's what Donna tells me. She tells me you're very funny. Well, the thing is, you don't have to, you know, if you look at comedy like a tool, like music is a tool, preaching is a tool. They're just tools. Mm-hmm. You don't fall in love, and you should not fall in love with your cause. There are a lot of good causes out there, you know, that Christians get involved in. Your cause, though, is not your Christ.
That's...
You've got to keep your cause in perspective, and don't let it become your Christ. Because some people fall in love with their cause and aren't falling in love with Christ.
That is awesome. That's a great thing to talk about in a new year. We're into a brand new year. I think that's a great thing for people to look at.
Yeah. So, keep Christ the spoke, and all the causes are, I mean, the hub and the causes are the spokes, you know.
They're
the works that you do because you love Jesus.
That's it. Hey, give everybody the website one more time.
MarkLowry.com, MarkLowry. There's no E in Lowry. MarkLowry.com, and you can look at my schedule, my DVD, my new one DVD. You can get it, and you'll have it in a couple of days, because I have one person in the office, and he's already got them packed and ready to put a label on.
So this is the big day. I hope it's awesome for you. I bet you're tired already, though.
No, I'm having a great time.
Are you? You're doing good?
Yeah. It's still early, yeah.
Yeah. So are you a coffee drinker? You know, that's one thing I don't know about.
Oh, yes. Thank God I'm not Mormon.
Yeah. Well, we're glad for that, too. But
I don't drink coffee.
I know. Oh, isn't that terrible?
Yeah.
See, I'm from Seattle, so that'd be like, they'd kick me out of the state.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. You can't be a Mormon up there. I don't get it.
I don't think. They must be backslidden. Give them the website one more time, Mark.
It's MarkLowry.com. www.MarkLowry.com.